Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, October 23rd, 2012. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, and I am in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor, and I'm in State College, Pennsylvania.
Over the past 2 weeks, news from the mobile location-based services world has come to us about acquisitions, apps, bad maps, and APIs. So does the news about Esri buying the LBS company GeoLoki signal some need to bring the LBS or consumer space closer to location analytics? What's this acquisition all about? We'll talk about that and more, but first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agoleval.
Well, first, many of you may not know who GeoLoki is, so let me start there and tell you a little bit about the company. They are a company that has an API to do geofencing, georeferencing, geocoding. They have geofencing triggers, and what they're telling their clients, coming from their website, they say, whether you're making an application for tracking assets, finding friends nearby, or setting up a location-based game, GeoLoki makes it simple to implement full-featured tracking systems with minimal time and effort. So you want to build an app that will push a message to a user when they're near a certain location at a certain time of day. Perhaps you think, based on data you've gathered about this person, they'd be interested in a particular museum tour. And if the tour starts at 2 p.m., and the person is within a half a mile at that time, your app could let them know. That's just one example of what the GeoLoki SDK can provide to app developers. But Esri recently purchased GeoLoki. It's only a seven-person company, and we're going to talk a little bit about why in the world Esri would do this. Is this some move by Esri to get into the LBS space? They've tried once before. And maybe the time is ripe for them to come back. So we're going to try to tease out here is what are some of the reasons here? This seems to be a little bit unusual, a little bit out of the space for Esri, or is it? So, Adina, let's talk about what your idea is. What was your top reason for why you think Esri is in this LBS space now?
Okay, I think the first reason that this happened is timing. And here's how I think about it. So back... five, 6 years ago, I think of that as the first coming of LBS. And LBS was a hot topic. Everybody got into it. ESRI talked about it. MapInfo talked about it. Autodesk had a whole division that did it, right? And,
yeah.
And then outside of our industry, there were all kinds of things like Looped and Brightkite and Yahoo built Fire Eagle. And everyone thought this was the new big thing. Well, guess what? It wasn't. So all of the GIS companies that I mentioned sort of stopped bothering. Autodesk sold off its LBS stuff. Looped and Brightkite went away. Fire Eagle is kind of gone. Many of the other little companies got acquired. And then things got very quiet. And now reality is setting in. So the whole idea of LBS used to be you walk down the street by the coffee shop and you get a coupon. Well, we had to get over that.
Yeah.
And now we are over it. So now it's time to take this seriously, and ESRI, being a very conservative company, waited until things were calm and then went and bought a tool for LBS.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start. I think that what happened in these intervening couple of years was navigation took over. Everybody became comfortable with navigation, and then we thought, hey, what else can we do with this navigation stuff? I mean, the navigation world exploded. What Esri has done here, they've bought a very niche set of tools, right? It's geofencing, which they already did, but this is more in the mobile space. The way I looked at this acquisition was, I think it's a play in to get in front of the tier one wireless carriers, because now the tier one carriers are looking at other things other than navigation. Could be location-based advertising, could be other apps. They see that so many apps now require some sort of location-based information. And that was my first thought when I saw the acquisition.
Wow, I didn't have that thought at all. But you did mention something important. You described this as a mobile acquisition as opposed to an LBS acquisition. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important question to ask. Which is it? Because if you look at ESRI, and I just sat through a presentation last week about every possible way to implement ESRI solutions on a mobile device, and there are 12 million of them, and they're all relatively complicated, and they're all ideally being made available to mobile developers, but most of the mobile developers don't know who ESRI is.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe this is about sort of trying to consolidate the ESRI mobile APIs and to get ESRI's name in front of this kind of developer, these developers who may have already heard of GeoLoki.
I think that's true, but I also think what has happened is that this is kind of a stepwise progression for Esri. As you just said, a lot of developers know Esri. Some in the mobile space do not. So what's the step in between the consumer space and the geoanalytics space? Well, to me, there's a real play here in the mobile resource management space and asset inventorying that isn't thought of very much. So that was kind of my second point, was that MRM, mobile resource management, is a play that Esri, I think, would like to be in because of all of their transportation applications, the analytics applications. But now, because some of the form factors, the tablets, the phones, whatever, lend itself to being in the hands of some of the more traditional clients that are now mobilizing their workforces. You know, they've always been in the utility workforce. They've always had a need for mobile resource management. To me, this allows some of that. So forget about the consumer apps that GeoLoki may have been in. Think about the asset tracking, and they say, GeoLoki says this on their website, think about the asset tracking applications that could be developed, and I think that's one play that Esri can play in that makes this an attractive acquisition.
Okay, and I'm going to distill all that down to mobile applications for local government. Fair?
Well, local government's one.
Right.
I think you got utilities. I think you have even people like UPS or a FedEx. I think that those play into it. Anybody that has a mobile fleet could potentially use some of the applications.
Right, but all of those people with mobile fleets already have a solution. I mean, this is pretty long in coming for UPS.
Yeah, I still think there's a play there. There's always that need to do something a little bit better. I think GeoLoki has one of these very niche applications that may lend itself to other app development. I'm not going to say what that app development is. I'm just saying they have a tool set that may lend itself to a really interesting app.
And what does ESRI bring to the table?
Well, I think they bring the analytics side of it. I think that what and GeoLoki mentioned it on their website about capturing a lot of the data and keeping the data as their own. And the way I look at it is, this is allowing the company that's developing the application to take a lot of these things internal. You're not necessarily gathering data from the user. This is the app developer providing a service. I think that they're gathering the data to do more analytics.
To do sort of the big data kind of thing.
The big data, yep. Mm-hmm. Right.
I guess I would feel better about that, except that I have no sense of the track record of GeoLoki.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea who's using their tools. I know they've built some apps. So that's all well and good predicting into the future, but and some of this does remind me of the acquisition of Simple Geo by Urban Airship. I never quite knew what Simple Geo did and never got a sense of its success or its clients, and then all of a sudden it was acquired by a company I never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that same sort of feeling. I was sort of disappointed that on the GeoLoki website there's no sort of discussion about who's using it and how.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't see that either.
And we're talking about, let's be clear here, we're talking about a 7-person company.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right? And to be fair, I mean, Amber Case has been all over and certainly presents the company well and certainly got her name all over the tech press, which I'll say is part of the reason that this was all over the tech press.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking for the track record.
Mm-hmm.
What have they built?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a fair point, other than the app that you can download from the Apple App Store. The only thing I could think of, and it's not something that's new, is about the triggers. If you're doing geofencing, you want triggers. Now, maybe when you look at this, that's where the niche is. Whether you're coming or going inside the fence, maybe they do it more eloquently than anybody else. And this also could be a play for location-based advertising, which nobody has said, but I think that that could be one thing that, that Esri may want to get into. They're, as you said, over the years, the intervening years, it was quiet. Now LBS advertising is coming up again, so maybe in the back of their mind, Esri says, well, there could be a jumping the chasm or on the second loop of the hype curve. So just a thought.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
let me go back hardly. to two other ideas. It's always been in my brain since about 1992. ArcView 1 came out. That was called GIS for Everyone. And unfortunately, it wasn't. And then there was Business Map. And then there was ESRI's implementation of geodata.gov and some tools to make your own map. And now we have ArcGIS Online, which I would argue is, again, supposed to be GIS for Everyone. And we're still not there. I have a strong sense that Dangerman's vision is that he sits down on a plane and he says, I'm the founder of ESRI, and somebody says, I use your tools every day, and I know who you are. Mm-hmm. And we're not there yet. This could be another way to try to get there, exactly because of that geofencing. One of the pieces I read in the tech press talked about how you can build with their application that you download a tool so that when you walk into up to the grocery store, your shopping list automatically comes up on your phone. Okay, now that's the kind of thing that everyday people could use every day. So I think part of this might be that kind of a play. The other thing that we have to look at is this acquisition follows on after the acquisition of GeoIQ. And let's face it, GeoIQ and GeoLoki are hip and cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, ESRI is certainly not hip and cool. Right?
Well, I don't know. I hope it's deeper than that.
This is certainly part of it. And again, that goes to bringing this new audience of developers. Because
sure.
the future is developers, specifically mobile developers, to grow this market. Because ESRI has done very well getting into the enterprise, getting onto the desktop, getting into government. The percentages are quite high there. But in this other arena, not so much. So
well,
there's a combination of the right platform, the right tools, and having access to the right population of developers.
Well, I think what you just said was there's kind of a force multiplier. If you get it into the hands of more developers, which some of their tools certainly have been, but maybe not at the more popular level, maybe not so much at the API level, this would certainly facilitate what you just said, that this is a way to kind of spread the word and get it into more hands. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that the latest release of ArcGIS Online makes it easier to share and interact with 3D content. ArcGIS Online now includes the City Engine Web Viewer, an application that allows you to explore 3D city scenes in your web browser. To learn more about the City Engine Web Viewer and what's new in ArcGIS Online, visit esri.com/ArcGIS Online.
If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com, send us a tweet @directionsmag, or leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine. I would like to remind you about two things at Directions Mag. Now is the time to register for our Geo Huntsville conference coming up on November 8th and 9th in Huntsville, Alabama. The focus of the event will be geospatial intelligence and commercial Earth observation. We also have a call for papers for our Location Intelligence Conference coming up in May 2013. Find more information at locationintelligence.net. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.